This is a BTP special presentation.
Hello everybody and welcome to another BTP short, Deadline Day special, this time focusing on the New England Revolution and their signing of Gershon Kofi on loan from Hammarby in Sweden. Joining me to talk about this is Frank Delapa, Boston Globe writer and the most interesting man in soccer, in my opinion. Frank, how are you today?
I'm great, thanks, Scott.
So, look, Frank, Gersh is back. I'd assumed he'd become surplus to requirements because of Kouassi, and he came in, and I figured that's why Gersh was allowed to leave. So, look, what's the story here, Frank? Why is he back? And do you know anything about how this transpired?
Well, you know, it did surprise me a little bit, but it kind of came back and forth. Basically, Kofi came to the Revolution because Kouassi couldn't get here because he was injured playing in Switzerland after he had agreed to sign here. So that's why Kofi came here in the first place a year ago, right? So it's kind of it all kind of intertwined. So it was a little bit confusing. But I think the Revolution wanted to strengthen the midfield in spite of having Kouassi. And I think, you know, Jay Heaps likes to have a few defensive midfielders, holding midfielders in there too. And I think when Zach Herivo, who's the young prospect and, you know, could be pretty good in that position, they were going to throw him right in there. And he should be playing right now, but Zach ended up getting injured in the preseason, so he wasn't ready until well into the season. Now they've loaned him out to San Antonio, and I think that all happened before they knew that Gershon Kofi could be available to come back. So now they are down there and they need one. But I agree. I think that the priorities are elsewhere, and I think the Revolution's been a step or two behind in filling these holes since 2014, when Jermaine Jones came in. Since that time, they've had opportunities, and that was also coincided with the loss of A.J. Soares. Soares was their defender that they lost. So really, the advent of Jones and the loss of Soares, I think they've been a step or two behind ever since then.
So who do you think, you know, I know you said that this is a little bit of a surprise, given, you know, the other sort of places that the Revolution needs to strengthen. But now that he's here, now Gersh is back, look, I know you said that Jay likes to have a few defensive midfielders in the team, but, you know, who does he supersede? I mean, does he start? Is he going to take the place of Scotty Caldwell? Or is he going to start alongside Kouassi? Like, how do you see him fitting into this team? Is he going to be the one to sit back, push forward? What is it?
I don't see how it fits in at all, because I think they've got a surplus there now too. And I'll tell you the truth, one of their better holding midfielders and playmaking midfielders is not even playing there. And that's Javon Watson, who plays that role and is the captain of the Jamaican national team. So he's pretty good at that. So they've kind of got him all over the place at an outside back position. I think the balance isn't right on this team. I think that's why you don't see the results. Team looks good. They play pretty well. Got a lot of good players, but there's nothing to really, make everybody better and win games. So you see a lot of draws so far, a lot of games that you think they could win, but they're not going to win them because they don't have that one or two things that put you over the top. And sometimes it's just chemistry. I don't see a lot of great chemistry out there. I think guys are good role players, and so I don't think Coffey's the real answer. I think that Jermaine Jones came in and played that role, and he was the answer. He made everybody better, and that was when they had a really good team, 2014. They haven't had that since then, and until they get somebody like that that can make everybody better and just be a strong leader out there at whatever position it is, I don't think they're going to go very far. I think they could be a playoff team, but I don't think they're going to go very far.
Yeah, just do you get a sort of sense that this, because there's been a lot of not negativity surrounding the Revs, I wouldn't say recently, but it's getting there. You know, there's been sort of murmurs within fans getting frustrated about Jay Heaps' team selection, and then you have the stadium sort of quashed by BU, told it's not possible. Everyone wants a soccer specific stadium, and you know, there's a lot of anti-craft sort of sentiment in New England right now. Do you think that this was maybe something to do with just appeasing the fans a bit, like bringing back who was kind of a fan favorite? You know, we love Gersh, you know, but do you think there's some of that involved in this move or no?
Yeah, I think Gersh, he's a good player. Basically, he's a Tommy Sohn, who's the top assistant to Jay Heaps. He's one of his guys. You know, he brought him into this country, I think, to Vancouver, but, you know, to the MLS. And, you know, they, I think they, what Jay Heaps likes to do is mostly bring in guys that know the league and that they know and that are good locker room guys. You know, I think that was sort of the formula that worked really well with Steve Nichol, although Stevie was a lot more adventurous, I think, than Jay. He just, the purse strings were tied and he wasn't able to bring in a lot of guys. Jay now had a lot of opportunities to go out and get guys, and they brought in two central defenders, and those could pan out pretty well. I just think there's two years too late on those guys. They should have been breaking in 2 years ago, not necessarily De La Maia and Angua, but whoever those guys were that they were going to pay good money. The total deals on those are close to seven figures with transfer fees. You could have brought in two guys and done the same exact thing 2 years ago, and by now, I think we'd know where they stand. Instead, we're kind of figuring out, yeah, what is this team? You know, what's the identity? Where are they going? And, you know, I think they wanted to bring in Coffee just to kind of get the locker room going, get a guy out there that can compete and step right in. And maybe there's a trade in the works or something like that, you know, because I think there's a surplus of guys. They don't need that many holding midfielders.
So if you were to move somebody on at this point, Who do you move on, and, you know, and where? Who do you go out and get?
Yeah, I think that's a problem with MLS. You're not really going to get anybody that's that much better than what you got. You know, so, you know, I think Javon Watson's kind of in such a utility role. I'm not sure that he's happy in that role. So somebody could maybe use him. But, again, you're just going to get another probably utility guy that's maybe not happy where he is. No guarantee he's going to be happy here. So I think you got to really go outside the league. Some of these, I think, kind of what proves it a little bit is, and I hate to use Scotty Caldwell as an example because he's a really good player and, you know, grew up here and everything and plays a good game and gives you everything he's got. Diego Fagundes is another one, good player, grew up here, but I think they're plateauing a little bit. You don't see him getting a lot better. So you might just need to change things up, and those are key roles that those guys are playing. If I was the Revolution, I think they develop those guys. I would try to sell them onto Europe or wherever you can, and then they can come back in a few years, you know. But that's not happening. So I think you got a bit of stagnation going on there, and I don't really see how you shake it up. I mentioned trade. I did bring that up. But, again, it's tough to make those things work in MLS or anywhere else, really.
All right. Yeah. Well, first of all, I agree. Second of all, like, let's end on this. So, transfer window for the Revolution from preseason to now, success or failure? What do you think?
I think they're just too late. I think it's good moves on paper, but I think the reality is just too late to have a huge effect. Again, it might have made them a playoff team, which that's a little bit of an improvement on a year ago. Not enough, though, to make a difference.
All right. Well, thanks for coming on, Frank. People can find you on Twitter at Frank DeLapa, I believe. Am I correct?
Yeah, no, I'm on there. Doing a lot of historical stuff lately, so we're in there.
Yeah, see, it's why I call you the most interesting man in soccer. I love reading those things. I love it. I really do. Thanks for coming on today.
Sure, Scott.
All right. Okay, great stuff from Frank DeLapa there. And now joining me also on the New York Revs beat is Julian Cardillo. He is a contributor to my alma mater, Prost America Soccer, and also is the editor of the brilliant, brilliant, brilliant Gotham Sportsnet. Julian, how are you, sir?
I'm good. Thanks a lot for having me.
Oh, no problem. Look, we've heard from Frank. We've heard what Frank thinks about all of the problems that are going on in New England right now and how these trades and these acquisitions for New England might be a little bit too late, okay? Maybe 2 years too late. Now, Gersh has come back. There's a big midfield logjam that you have going on there in New England. Let me ask you, did it surprise you? And how do you think it fits into this sort of cluster of players that are fighting for positions in the midfield right now?
Well, it did surprise me when I first saw the rumor, which was about a week ago now, especially because when Gersh left in the offseason, it was kind of abrupt. I thought that he was a little unorthodox at times last season for the Revolution, but he still brought a nice physical presence. He seemed to be a decent short passer. And I thought that even with Javier Kouassi coming in, that they would need some depth. So from a standpoint of depth, I think it's a decent signing. They obviously have the roster space. They need a backup to Kouassi, but certainly tactically, I'm not certain that Jay Heaps quite knows how he's going to play his midfield. And I don't think that Gershon Kofi necessarily is going to help him answer that question. If anything, I think it's just an insurance piece behind Kouassi.
Okay, look, we've heard from Frank about what he thinks about what I'm about to ask you. But again, interested to hear what you think. Different perspective. Do you think there's any of the Crafts trying to appease the fans in this signing? Like bring back a pseudo fan favorite, as it were?
Well, I don't necessarily think it's appeasing. I don't think that's the right word, but I have kind of 2 points on that. Right after the rumors surfaced regarding Kofi potentially coming to the Revs, I reached out to some sources that were familiar with any kind of negotiations, and they had told me that Gersh just wasn't a good fit at Hammarby. He wasn't getting enough playing time. I think he's only played in 3 games there since he joined. And so he was really ripe for a move to come back to New England, especially since they knew the kind of player that he is. But in terms of appeasing, I mean, they do have those open roster spots, and I know there's been some clamoring about filling those up and getting a fuller team together. But for me, I feel, at least since 2001, 2002, the Revs are the ultimate island for misfit toys when it comes to both good players and bad players. And I think there are plenty of examples of that. I think they tend to run into players. It's sort of a look what I found. And I think there's a case for that with Kofi here. I think you can make that case with Kai Kamara last year, in the past with Lee Wynn, with Juan Agudelo, with even going beyond that to earlier seasons when they made their runs to their first few cups. So at any rate, I'm not convinced that the Revs coaching staff is necessarily putting their best foot forward to appease the fans and to get the winning results and to put quality football on the field. And I think that this is just playing out over and over and over again of just running into these look what I found deals. And for me, that Gersh is the latest example.
Yeah, it seemed a bit of a strange one to me, because I always think that, you know, the one thing that the Revs need, and Brian Dunseth was on the show a couple of weeks ago, and he agrees. He agrees with us that, you know, look, that defense needs some work doing to it. You know, do you think there was somebody else that they could have gone out and got during this window, or at least somewhere else that they should have been focusing on, something like that?
Well, they certainly have the space with regard to the roster. In the past, I think that they are limited by their scouting or lack thereof. I mean, it's essentially Jay Heaps, Mike Burns, and whoever their contacts are around the world. And I guess you could make the case now, Carlos Llamosa. And given that they're now, you know, full throttled in the regular season, I just don't see them having the time or the resources to go out and find a new defensive piece. But on the flip side, Gershon Kofi is slated to play as a defensive midfielder. I actually think he's more of a defensive player than Kouassi, just because he's less involved in transitions and is more of that bulldozer in the middle who, you know, sticks closer to the back line. He's not as attack minded. So in a sense, I think they do address some of those issues. But this move doesn't address other issues, such as how do Kouassi and Caldwell unite in the middle and help those transitions. Why is Kellen Rowe still at left back? Why is it that the signing was made for another defensive midfielder? Not saying that they don't need one, but why is it the priority was central midfield when Chris Tierney has been on the fritz and Kellen Rowe is playing in his position and that's not his natural position? So a lot of questions still unanswered, and I just don't see Kofi as answering everything.
Just on that, you mentioned about Scotty Caldwell and Kouassi maybe not being able to play that well together, like a little Lampard and Gerrard of New England, let's say. but do you see maybe that this is the end of Scotty Caldwell? Are they trying to replace him? Are they trying to replace him with Kouassi and Gersh in the middle there? Because he is a bit of a combative player, right? He's a combative player, and more so than Scotty Caldwell.
I don't see it as wanting to replace Scott Caldwell, especially since he's homegrown. And he's been, I would argue, he's probably been the most consistent Revolution player in the last 3 years. That's my view anyway. I think it's more how do we get them to play well together. I certainly don't think it is beyond them to do it, but I think you may have to sacrifice the diamond in the middle. I just don't see Scott on the edge of the diamond and have Javier Kouassi behind him. And quite frankly, I think the loss in Columbus articulated why that tactical switch doesn't work or that tactical formation doesn't work. I think that it's harder for Scott to help out on defense and to be as effective in transitions if he's on the edge of the diamond. So you may have to move beyond the current formation, but, you know, quite frankly, I'm not sure that that Jay Heaps is interested in doing that at any time soon. So it may be a while before we see a switch in that department.
All right. So lastly, I'll finish off with the same thing I asked Frank. You know, preseason, off-season, whatever you want to call it, until the end of the deadline, the end of the transfer window, was it a success or was it a failure? What do you think?
Well, if I had to give it a letter grade, I think I would give it a C+, because from a numbers perspective, they did go out and get defenders, but they still have issues on their back line. And while they're scoring goals, their midfield is just not good at tracking back and playing the possession game. So at this point, I don't know if it's I don't know if we're judging the players that have been signed and acquired or if we're judging the way they play in the formation. So it's one of two. But from a numbers perspective, I'm going to say it's passing, but barely passing.
All right, but do you not think, just on that, just going to throw an extra one at you, that the Revs have had too many C-plus recruiting seasons? Isn't it time they had an A-plus one? An A-plus-plus one, for that matter.
Oh, absolutely. I completely think that's the case. But when you look at what they have to work with in terms of a coach who has very little tactical experience and a non-existent scouting department, I think what they're able to do, it may not be what's necessary, but it's probably as good as we're going to see. Because, quite frankly, they don't have the record to prove otherwise. So while we can sit and argue that, yeah, it is time for the Revs to get it right in an off season, the fact is it just hasn't happened. And the resources really haven't changed all that much. And until they do, until there's more of a scouting department, until there's more of an emphasis on real tactics, not just on saying we're going to focus on tactics, but an actual emphasis on having a coaching staff that knows about tactics, then I don't think we're going to see too much that's different. And, you know, to be fair, I do like what I have seen in spurts from two of their new center backs, Antonio De La Maia and Josh Smith. I think they both are really strong players, but there's a level of tactic that I think is missing from the Revs' transfers. And that's the case this year, and it's been the case in seasons past as well.
All right, fabulous stuff, Julian. Now, where can people find you on Twitter? What's the best place?
You can find me at my handle. It's at Julian Cardillo. I'd be delighted to connect with readers and an audience on Twitter. So look forward to hearing from everybody.